Thank you, friends. I'm to talk about the intractable, as though it could be tracted. Is that a word? This is a very hard time, but one of the things that it does is it makes it clearer than it ever was before that we are not utopian dreamers. We are the realists. We are the ones who are looking at the situation as it exists, what's possible, and what needs to be done. And those people who believe carry the fantasy that we can continue the way we're going. That is insane. It has never been true that we could not live together on this planet in peace and sharing resources responsibly, respecting each other's cultures, respecting each other's land. That was never true that we couldn't do that. And now it's clear it's the only choice we have. The only choice we have. I referenced this amazing document last night. It's the 1922 Nuclear Posture Review, the U.S. Nuclear Deterrence Strategy and Policy. I'm sorry, 2022. Thank you very much. There was no nuclear policy. Thank you. And it's of course, still in force. And a couple things that jump out at it. One is nested within the Department of Defense's Natural Defense Strategy, the NPR recognizes that nuclear weapons undergird all our national defense priorities. The threat of nuclear war is there all the time, whatever the U.S. military is doing around the world. It's always supported by the threat of nuclear war. And listen to this. Although the fundamental role of U.S. nuclear weapons is to deter nuclear attack, more broadly, they deter all forms of strategic attack and assure allies and partners and allow us to achieve presidential objectives if deterrence fails. Presidential objectives if deterrence fails, meaning we will kill everyone. Of course, we assure the United States will only consider the use of nuclear weapons in extreme circumstances to defend the vital interests of the United States, its allies, and partners. But I think one of the most disturbing things here is it speaks about developed strategies for warfare that may rely on the threat or actual employment of nuclear weapons in order to terminate a conflict on advantageous means. They're imagining a nuclear conflict that could be ended to our advantage. The way other nations look at this, the other armed nuclear arms nations, and I'm not justifying any threat of using nuclear weapons under any circumstances, first use, second use. Russia's, for example, is much more modest. Their use of nuclear weapons in the Russian Federation when the very existence of the state is under threat. Last October, the Congressional Commission on Strategic Posture of the United States released its final report suggesting that the U.S. needs to be prepared to simultaneously fight and win two nuclear wars with China and with Russia. And then just a few weeks ago, there was a leaked New York Times, August 20th, classified document where the president ordered the U.S. to prepare for possible coordinated nuclear confrontations with Russia, China, and North Korea. That we will fight each of those countries simultaneously with nuclear weapons, and we will defeat them when each of those countries is pledged to use nuclear weapons before they're defeated. So it really is a suicide pact. One thing that's very disturbing, since 2009, when President Obama pleged more than $1 trillion on, listen to the language, stockpile stewardship of our nuclear weapons. Meaning, stewardship means, of course, preserving something for future generations. We have stewardship over the national park, stewardship over soil, over water, but stewardship over, meaning even though we're pledged by the Non-Proliferation Treaty and other treaties to try to good faith efforts to get rid of nuclear weapons, we're pledged to the United States of spending trillions of dollars to ensure future generations will live under the nuclear threat. And the other title of it is life extension of nuclear weapons. As the life expectancy in the United States is falling for the first time, trillions of dollars to extend the lives, the lifespans of nuclear weapons. So I live 100 miles from Kansas City, and I was just there in April for a protest. There's the National Security Campus in Kansas City where they make 85% of all the non-nuclear parts of the nuclear bombs, and they're really busy now because of these new weapons systems that are being developed. So back in January 20th, 2022, it was announced, they had the press release, with great pride and excitement, they recognized the completion of the B-6112 life extension program's first production unit. The B-61 is the gravity bombs at the NATO nuclear sharing facilities. Pierre and I were at last August in Vocal in the Netherlands, where they store 20 nuclear weapons, nuclear bombs, gravity bombs, and they practice every day putting those bombs on Dutch Air Force planes. And the Royal Dutch Air Force will be the ones to deliver to Russia when the time comes, when the order's given. Now, there's changes going on there. One thing is they now have the new B-6112 bomb, which is more flexible and more easily deployed than the old one, which is a great advantage. And also, the Netherlands has bought, they were using US F-16 fighter bombers. They just bought the F-35 to replace them. But don't worry, the old F-15s are not wasted. They're now in Ukraine. Now, there's a very scary thing going on. Mutually assured destruction. The knowledge that a nuclear war would be the end of everything was a horrible way to have peace. President Eisenhower said, it's no way of life at all. It's humanity nailed to a cross of iron. But all these proxy wars all over the world and so much suffering in Africa and Asia and in Latin America, but the proxy wars that didn't turn nuclear, that reticence about nuclear weapons, that fear is disappearing. Mutual assured destruction was never good, but in the absence of it is more horrible. The New York Times report quotes Richard Haass, former State Department and National Security official for several Republican presidents, and he's on the Council of Foreign Relations, said to the New York Times, it's an important moment. We are dealing with a Russia that has radicalized the idea that nukes won't be used in a conventional conflict is no longer a safe assumption. But then there's a 2019 Pentagon report that said June 2019, U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff suggested, quote, using nuclear weapons could create conditions for decisive results and restoration of strategic stability. Specifically, the use of a nuclear weapon will fundamentally change the scope of a battle and create conditions that affect how commanders will prevail in conflict. So we're scared of Russia coming to the idea that they could use nuclear weapons in a conventional war when we are planning it. We're spending trillions of dollars to develop the capability of having a small-scale strategic nuclear war and prevail on the battlefield, and we can win, not just against Russia, but against China simultaneously and Korea. Now, I got to quote here Condoleezza Rice about whether Iraq had nuclear weapon capability or not, said we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. Now, I don't know. North Korea says they have missiles that can reach the United States. I don't know if that's true. I don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud, and certainly they can reach U.S. bases in Japan and in South Korea. Now, the idea of the state, what we've done here, states are, and empires are all temporary. They're ephemeral. Their vital interests keep changing. Our allies keep changing. National borders are constantly revised all over the world. You know, the border, where has Lviv, Ukraine been in the last 100 years? It's been in Latvia, it's been in Poland, it's been in Russia, it's been in Ukraine. The city hasn't moved, but the boundaries keep moving. So all the empires come and go. We have that from the book of Daniel, we have that from Revelations. None of these are permanent. The suggestion that the preservation of one's pathetic and crumbling empire is worth killing everyone on earth is the height of hubris. It's insane. There's no situation that would justify that, or even the plan of that. Dorothy Day long ago said, "It's better for the United States to be liquidated than survive by war." But the position today seems to be, if we cannot maintain U.S. supremacy over the planet, we will kill all generations, not just our own. There will be no future. This is it. You know, it's saying what the Caesars and the Hitlers and the Czars tried to claim: we are forever. Rome is the eternal city. In 1949, I think this is Thomas Merton, Trappist monk and poet, early on in the Cold War with Russia, wrote, "When I pray for peace, I pray God to pacify not only the Russians and the Chinese, but above all my own nation and myself. When I pray for peace, I pray to be protected not only from the Reds, but from the folly and blindness of my own country. When I pray for peace, I pray not only that the enemies of my country may cease to want war, but above all, that my own country will cease to do the things that make war inevitable." In other words, when I pray for peace, I'm not just praying for the Russians will give up without a struggle and let us have our own way. I'm praying that both we and the Russians may somehow be restored to sanity and learn how to work out our problems the best we can together, instead of preparing for global suicide. These new ones, they can dial up and down. They can dial, you can take the weapon and you can dial it to be 20 times Hiroshima, or you can dial it down to Hiroshima size. The insanity of that is the idea that if we use these smaller tactical nuclear weapons, that the Russians or whoever are not going to respond in kind because, oh, it's only a little one. No harm, no foul. But the insanity of that is our own policy is it doesn't matter how small a nuclear weapon is. If somebody bombs the United States, we're going to hit them with everything. And of course Russia will do that. Of course China. Of course Korea will respond however they can. There's no question, unless this can be turned around, it isn't like, is there going to be a nuclear war, which is the kind of thing that stood over us for decades. William McNamara, who was Johnson and Kennedy's Secretary of Defense, said we survived those years only by dumb luck. I'd like to see the hand of God in there, and also I'd like to think that in the 1980s, there were millions of people on the street, and things turned around drastically. The tragedy of that was by 1990, people said, oh, well, that's past. We used to worry about nuclear bombs, and now we don't anymore. When really it was at the time that momentum should have been kept up. And I believe we need to regain that somehow.